Pastor Ray Bentley provides a snapshot of today's study on Maranatha Radio.
Moses is 120 and he's looking the next generation in the eye. And he is giving to them out of his personal strength of experience and relationship with the living God. He's giving them a powerful word of encouragement as they face a new life in a new land under a new leader.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. With age often comes wisdom. When you're Moses, not only does age impart wisdom, God himself imparts a supernatural wisdom. And today, Moses passes along his insights to the Israelites, about ready to enter the promised land. It's full of encouragement for our generation as well.
Okay, let's open our Bibles. If you have a Bible, and I hope you do have a Bible, open it to the book of Deuteronomy. We're kind of at the end of the first five books. This is the last of the five books that was written by Moses, telling the story of the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of their 400 years of slavery, miraculously through the wilderness. Now they're on the edge of the promised land, the land that God promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where God would bless a people that he called his chosen people, not that they would remain the chosen people, but that he through them would bring blessing to all the nations of the earth. God wanted to include the whole world, and so obviously the Messiah would come through the Jewish people and become the Savior of the world. So we only have three life lessons, so I'm going to start with the first one. As Moses is encouraging this new generation, remember, he's not actually going with them into the promised land. He, because of his mistake and sin in the past, he's staying. So he's giving them the encouraging word, how to go in. The Lord, through Moses, is challenging them and us two things, and that's what we're going to hear this morning, to walk in our identity, and secondly, in our authority. Moses, in this speech, the book of Deuteronomy, is exhorting a new generation. He is reminding them that it's very important that you know who you are, and that you are intentional about your own unique identity. You have a divine destiny. And you need to know your identity, who you are, as a chosen people, the sons and daughters of God, because God is using you as a light to reflect to the other nations of the world, to provoke jealousy to them that they will want to enter into a covenant relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that's what Moses is doing, is reminding them of their identity and authority. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 31, it says, "Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, 'I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan.'" All right, let's stop there for a moment. Moses, he's 120 years old, and he's getting ready to die. They're getting ready to cross over. And he says, "Well, God is not going to allow me to cross over." But I want you to remember, when did Moses' ministry begin? How old was he? Okay, very good. 80 years of age. He began his ministry at 80. And I want to just say that in our culture, our American culture, We're off just a little bit in some ways, because we have this concept, you know, you work and then you're building, you know, for a thing called retirement. Now, the Bible doesn't really exhort us to work toward retirement. Or, you know, where you now look, I'm not saying that there's maybe a time where, okay, I don't work at the same company 9 to 5 forever, and I have maybe some freedom and flexibility to do some other things. But the idea is that you don't just get small, diminish, and fizzle and fade away. In fact, I believe that the reason, why did God wait until Moses was 80? Because it took that long for Moses to be broken down, for him to be humbled, for him to be molded, for him to be shaped, to have the wisdom, to have the character, to have the humility to actually lead a nation for such a time as this. And in many ways, what I am seeing here now, after he became 80, and through that brokenness and humility, he led the nation through the wilderness, now to the very edge of the promised land. He's 120 years old. And listen to this, Moses finished well. This is a great challenge for us and for our generation, and especially for the older generation. Look, we sometimes idolize youth, and I'm all for youth. I love youth. The youth, being youthful, and that kind of attitude is very healthy within our culture, but we need to remember and honor and respect those who are older and those who have gone through the hard knocks of life, especially those who have walked consistently with God. And when they reach 80, there's a wealth of wisdom and insight and character that truly the next generation needs as they begin going into their future. Can I hear an amen on that? You hear what I'm saying? And I, for one, I want to finish well. I was thinking about, I'm 59 going on 60, and you know, in our culture, I'm thinking, wow, man, when are you gonna retire and, you know, get ready for the next generation or whatever? And then I read the Bible and God says, are you kidding? I'm still refining you, working on you. You've got a long way to go, son. I'm like, wow, really? He goes, yeah. Moses is 120, you're 60, you're only halfway there. I was like, what? But he finished well. I want to ask you this morning, think about it. Do you want to finish strong? Do you want to finish well? Do you want to finish and complete the purpose, the mission, the unique destiny that God has for you? And that hopefully it's when you've earned, you know, your stripes, as it were, that you really have something of value to pass on to your kids and to the next generation, and that together, the book of Joel talks about a last day's outpouring of the Spirit. He goes, it's going to be multi-generational. Both the old and the young together will come for a great mighty move of God. So Moses could surely have closed his life under a dark cloud of discouragement. Okay, yeah, you guys are going in. I blew it. I can't go in. And he could have hung his head at the end of his life at 120. Instead, I love, Moses is standing tall. Moses is 120, and he's looking the next generation in the eye. And he is giving to them out of his personal strength of experience and relationship with the living God. He's giving them a powerful word of encouragement as they face a new life in a new land under a new leader. So read on with me. It says in verse 3, the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. I love this. He goes, you're not going alone. God's going with you. He's not just going with you, because they're all worried. Moses, you're not going with us. They're scared and anxious. He says, God's going with you. He's not only going with you, he's going before you. He's going to lead you into this land. He will destroy the nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Later, when we get into it in Joshua, we'll find out why. It was because of the demonic influences in the culture that literally had to be rooted out and by a supernatural act of God. God says, I'll deal with that. But Joshua himself crosses over before you just as the Lord has said, and the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land. So on this side of the Jordan, they've already defeated enemies. God's already taken their enemies out. He says, when you cross the Jordan, God will do the same thing to your enemies on the other side. When he destroyed them, the Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Now listen what Moses says now. And this is a word every parent, every father, every mother, every discipler, mentor needs to pass on to the next generation. Be strong and of good courage. We need to hear that. We need to hear that God wants us to be strong and of good courage. And here's the third command. Do not fear or be afraid of them. Don't be intimidated by them. Don't be anxious over them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. And he will not leave you nor forsake you. Can I hear a hallelujah, amen? God is with you. He is with us. As we are on, literally, you might say, we're at a crossroads in our country. We don't know what it all will be. But I love the idea that our God, for the children of God, is going with us, and he's literally going before us, and his plan is to bring down any demonic stronghold that would resist his will or his way. And all we need to do is follow and walk closely with the Lord. Now, understandably, this young generation listening to Moses, okay, yeah, you're telling us to go, but you're not going, are anxious. They're nervous. For them, many of them were born in the desert or in the wilderness, and their enemy in many ways was the harshness of the desert. It was the harshness of the wilderness. But God has proven to them for the last 40 years, like a good father, look back. Was I not with you? I not only delivered you from 400 years of abuse and slavery and delivered you in that miraculous Passover night, but I gave you a new identity. And then as you went into the wilderness, did I not open the windows of heaven and literally rain bread, fresh bread, every morning for the several million of you called manna? When you were thirsty and there was no water, did I not split the rock so the torrents of living fresh water came up from the ground and quenched your thirst? And did I not part the Red Sea? And will I not part the Red Sea or the Jordan River as you go across? You don't need to be afraid. And what Moses is reminding them is that the same Lord who melted nature to favor you and provide for you and take care of you is the same presence that shall go before you and displace your enemies. Now, the challenge is for God's children to take a new attitude as they cross the Jordan River. I want to say to you this morning, we live in a similar hour. As we look into the future, we don't know exactly what it will be like, or we don't know exactly what it will look like. There's a lot of anxiety. And so we're wondering as we go forward, Lord, so here's the deal. Here's what God wants to say to his children. He wants to say, I am going before you. I'm going to bless you. And if I need to, I'll melt nature to work together for your good. I'm going to accomplish my purpose and my plans, and nothing can harm, hurt, or stop me from my goodwill being done to my children and my sons and daughters, and I will bring your enemies down. You just stay close to Dad. Hold my hand and follow me. Hallelujah. Therefore, as you look into the future, if you're a child of God and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the future is nothing but bright. It's good. It's glorious, because I'm following Dad. And wherever he goes, it's going to be good. It's going to be his will. And he goes before me. And he promises not only his presence, everything will melt around him, but he promises you and me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You will never face the future alone. Therefore, the future is nothing but bright, filled with the glory of the Lord and our God. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's an attitude that we have to choose to put on. Where? In the New Testament, it says, clothe yourself with the mind of Christ. And it's an attitude the Father wants them to walk in as they go into their future. It's an attitude the Father wants us to wear as we walk into our future. Know your identity. You're a son of God. Know your authority. You're a child of God. Okay, second life lesson. Let's move on. We can only walk, because here's the exhortation and encouragement. We can only walk in boldness, because that's what he's really saying. He's, don't walk fearfully, you know, with trepidation and anxiety. You're my kids. Come on. I'm God. You walk with an attitude. And the attitude I want you to walk into the future with is an attitude of boldness. When the Spirit of God is in you and you're a child of God, it doesn't matter what is arrayed against you. God, if God is on your side, who can be against you? And therefore, we need to walk in the boldness of our identity. And then secondly, confidence. What does it mean to be courageous? It means to have confidence. It's not arrogance and pride in yourself. It is a confidence in the will of God. It's a confidence in the character of my Father. It's a confidence in His plans, in His purpose, in His strength, in His willingness to do everything good for me. Because our Father surrounds His children with good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen? So we can only walk in boldness and confidence when... So you're saying, okay, sounds good. I want to walk bold and confident. How do we do it? How did Moses tell that young generation to be able to do it once they get into the land and there's going to be some challenging things? When our eyes are on Him. This new generation is entering a new situation. Before, their enemy was kind of nature. And then they saw God, wow, He controls nature. We don't have to worry about that. But now they're entering a new situation. There are people there. There are kings. There are nations. There are armies and fortifications of people who are there. In other words, what's on the minds of all these young people is a gigantic confrontation is about to take place, and we are the main characters of the story. So what he is wanting them to realize is the Lord goes with you. The Lord goes before you. He will deal with them. Now, if your eyes are on your enemies, you see how big they are, how entrenched they are, how fortified they are, how strong they are, how fierce they are, and some of them are like giants they are. When your eyes are fixed on your enemies, listen, you will be filled with the terror of the enemy. If you take your eyes off of the enemy, because God says, I will deal with the enemy. See, God gives us a choice. He goes, look, either I fight the enemy or you fight the enemy. Well, what's it going to be? How many vote you'd rather God deal with the enemy? I like it. You know, when the devil comes and mess with me, I know Jesus is inside me. And, you know, he's threatening, yelling, screaming, you know, nasty, and pounding on the door. And I just go, Jesus, you go answer the door. I don't want to answer the door. I don't even want to talk to him or deal with him. And in reality, that's what God's saying. But if my eye is not on the enemy and the, you know, all of the terrible things that may be arrayed against me, but my eyes are on Him who created the universe, who spans, Isaiah said, the universe in His right hand. He spans. Think of God, the universe. We can't even find the end of it. What is the universe to God? About that big. He's out here looking at it. And then way deep inside, this tiny little planet. God is mighty. God is powerful. Now listen, when your eyes are fixed on the presence of God, the glory of God, the character of God, the power of God, the presence of God, whatever you look at and focus on is what you are filled with. If you want to be filled with anxiety and terror and nervous and anxiety, you know, all of that stuff, focus on the enemy. But if you want to be free from that, focus on the Lord. We can only walk in boldness and confidence, which He's telling us to do, when our eyes are on Him. So, the challenge will be for them, will their eyes be on the earthly enemies, or will it be on the Lord God Almighty? Moses has taken the people as far as he could go. But now God is willing to move forward with them, and His presence will go before them. And if they'll focus on Him, they will be filled with strength and courage and power, and the glory of God and the will of God shall be manifest upon the earth. So I like this. You know, Jesus kind of framed, they were asking him, okay, when's the kingdom coming? And he basically outlined what it would look like when he comes again. And this is how he framed it, and this is how he described it. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, he says, "And then there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity." The word perplexity means kind of, oh, if we go this way, that'll happen. If we go that way, that'll happen. Perplexity means we're kind of trapped. We don't know which way to go or what to do. There's a lot of that going around in the world. "And the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear." I don't need to tell you, because now it's access to all our little gadgets that we see, all of the stuff that medical field is telling us. The more they keep discovering new remedies and cures, our anxiety goes deeper, stronger, further entrenched. We're not only twittering, we're twittering because of all the nutty things that are happening. So failing them for their hearts failing them from fear. People have heart conditions because of anxiety. And there's never been a time, you know, used to, you live in a little town, you barely heard the news of what's happened on the other side of town. Now you know what's happening in every major city, every bad thing that is bombarded, you know, constantly. That's why we got to keep our nose in the good news. This is good news. So I'm glad you came to church to hear good news. You got to keep that balance. But anyway, so fear, expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Whatever we see happening on with the nations shaking is a window through which we can see there's even a bigger, more supernatural galactic battle shaking in the angelic realm. You follow me? It's happening. "But then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Okay, great. So we know all these are the signs, and then Jesus is going to come. But here's what I want you to notice. After sharing all of that by itself, I want you to look at the next verse. Because after Jesus lets the generation know this is what it's going to look like on the outside, he then focuses their attention on what they should be doing, how they should be living, what they should be looking at, and fixed upon, so they can be filled with peace. Jesus said, "Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh."
Great insight from our studies based in Deuteronomy with Pastor Ray Bentley. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Everything is Personal, and we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Everything is Personal. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.